Corinthians chapter 13, and well, I'd love to read this entire chapter, but I think our text, of course, is verses 1 through 3. I do want us to read down through the first phrase of verse 8. What a beautiful, beautiful passage. So I'm going to ask, if you're able, would you stand with me for the reading of the Word of God? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and when we get to verses 4 through 8, we'll read those together, but follow along with me as I read verses 1 through 3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, say it with me, those three words, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Read verses 4 down through the first phrase of verse 8 with me, would you please? Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity never faileth. And we'll stop there. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our time together today. Let's pray. Father, pray that you would help us this morning as we look into the Word of God. Father, I pray that by your Spirit you would give us greater understanding of the truth of what divine love is. Father, so much of the love as it exists in our culture today is just varied forms of self-centeredness and self-interest. Father, I pray that we would understand the love that you have shown to us, the love that was manifested in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that that love, not the love of the flesh or the love of this world, but Father, divine love would be the love that exists in our marriages. Divine love would be the love that exists in our homes. Father, divine love would even be the love that exists between children, young siblings. Father, I pray that by your power and by your grace, you would accomplish your work in our hearts. And Father, if there be one here that does not know the love of God through Jesus Christ, Father, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Father, we ask your blessing. May your people be helped. May your people grow because of the Spirit of Christ who speaks to our hearts. Father, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. This chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is a parenthetical. The apostle Paul has been speaking and addressing the church there at Corinth and speaking specifically about, in chapter 12, the manifestations of the gifts. And these gifts are varied and different for each individual, but he has spoken of how we're one body, and the purpose of these gifts is to edify the body. And he is going to go on, and he's going to speak in chapter 14, and he's going to specifically address one particular gift, and that is the gift of tongues. And in between this, you know, if you look at the last few verses of chapter 12, he talks about these gifts, and then for these 13 verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul takes a moment and he speaks about the importance of love. And he's going to go on to say in chapter 14 how the, and even here, how the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit are pointless. The gifts of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit are meaningless. They're valueless. Paul says it profits nothing. The exercise of these gifts without love, he said, would make him nothing. You know, and see, I want to remind us that it's only our talents and abilities exercised through God's love that gives them meaning. It's only your spiritual duties performed with God's love that makes them worthwhile. It's only the giving of yourself replete with the love of God that makes it commendable. See, to live life without love is to amount to nothing. How to amount to nothing? Live life without love. You see, if the exercise of these spiritual gifts without love amounts to nothing, if I am doing it because I feel a certain way, or I do it because I'm excited, or I just feel the need to express myself, if it's I, and it's not about you, then the expression of those gifts is without me. It amounts to nothing. And if the expression, think about this, if the expression of spiritual gifts, if the exercise of spiritual gifts without love amounts to nothing, then anything that I do without love amounts to nothing. See, I want to help us this morning because I want to, all of us can get to that place where we're just kind of going through the motions. And we fall into that rut and we feel like we're just barely surviving, or maybe we've been hurt and now we're a little bit bitter and we're just looking at things and we just get in this mode where everything we're just assessing and the pros and the cons and how is this going to benefit me, and as we perform our duties, even where we're faithful to our obligations and our commitments, but all the while we're reminding ourselves of how this is going to benefit me, and we're not doing it with the love of Christ. See, the love that exists in our culture is not biblical love. The average American doesn't understand this love that we're speaking about this morning. You see, the books, the movies, the songs is not biblical love. And I want to remind you that if the exercise, if the expression of love as it exists in the American culture is not biblical love, then the vast majority of homes and marriages in our culture know nothing of the love of God. See, love in the American culture is the excuse for men to live indulgent, self-centered lives. You know, with love, through love, divorce is justified. You know, I just don't feel love for the one I'm with, and I have feelings for another one that I'm not with. And I mean, after all, I'm supposed to follow my heart, they say, and the breaking of the marriage covenant, and it's all justified by love. Love, the reason that men live with men, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, dishonoring their bodies. It's justified by this love as it's expressed in our culture. Men love their pastimes and more than their wives, more than their children. And love is that impulse that obligates them to find fulfillment at the expense of their families. You see, love is that elusive thing that people are told to spend their lives pursuing. It's the Wizard of Oz love. You know, the great Wizard of Oz says, the heart is not judged by how much you love, but by how much you are loved by others. And so you're to pursue to be loved by others, to pursue that feeling. And all the while leaving a wake of broken relationships and damaged people. I thank God for this chapter. You know, as the Word of God shines like a beacon through the selfish darkness of this world. See, you and I, as children of God, we are to live loving others like Christ loved us.
We are to live expressing this divine love, a love that does not find its origin in the mind or in the heart. It exists in the will. We choose to do what's best for others. We choose to ignore how those choices and how the expressions of that love will impact us. And we choose to do what is best for others. It is a love that is not reactive. It is not responding to kind gestures. It's not responding to tokens of love. It is active. It is choosing to give of itself to others. It is a love that cannot stand by and be idle. It's a love that must act. It's the love that is more than just felt. It's a love that gives, for God so loved the world. He couldn't just stand by and be idle. He gave His only begotten Son. You know, one pastor said about God's love, the kind of agape love mentioned here, you know, no matter how good we are, God could love us no more. Think about that. God can love you no more than He loves you right at this very moment. Doesn't matter where life takes you or what you do, the choices that you make. You see, God can love you no more. No matter how good you are, we are. God could love us no more. No matter how bad we are, He could love us no less. You see, His love is prompted by nothing that we do. The love that I'm talking about today, it doesn't exist because of the object of that love. It's a love that flows from the giver. You see, God doesn't love you and I because of who we are, or God didn't see what we would become. And sometimes as Christians, we gain a little bit of spiritual victory, and we start thinking that God loves us because God loved us because of what He knew we would become. Oh, my friend, listen, God doesn't love you because of what you would become. God loves you because God is love. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It's there on the screen. Read it with me, would you please? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If you have experienced the love of God, if God has so loved you, and you have been a recipient of that love, the Bible says that you and I are to love one another that same way. You see how foolish for us to take this, the world's concept of love, or the selfishness of this old flesh, and exercise that and express that as love in our marriages and in our homes. You see, the expression of that kind of love, you see, without divine love, without God's love, it will amount to nothing. You will amount to nothing. You see, Paul reminds us of that here in verse 2. And have not charity, I am nothing. How can you amount to nothing? First of all, number one, use your tongue without love. How can you amount to nothing? Use your tongue without love. Look again at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, thinking about the tongue, I think there's no member of the body that is equal in its inability to impact others. I mean, for good or for bad. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18, would you read this together with me, please? There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You know, the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. You know, but by the tongue, with the tongue, we bless God and we bless others. And Yet with the tongue we curse God and curse others. See, the words, your words, have a great impact on the lives of others. The Bible says, like the piercings of a sword, or they give health. The question is, your tongue is powerful. Your tongue is going to impact every person in your family, every person over which you have influence. The question is your tongue being guided by love? See, the Bible says in Luke 6:45, a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaketh. You see, where there are sins of the tongue. And by the way, the sins of the tongue in the Word of God are many. Okay? But where there are sins of the tongue, there is no love. There is no true love. There is no agape love. There is no charity as we find here. Paul reminds us, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. See, what are some of the sins of the tongue? Well, one of them that kind of jumps out right away as being a violation of this law of love is lying. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 26, verse 28. And if you're a young person under 18, I want you to find that there in the bulletin, and I want you to read this with me. Proverbs 26, 28. All of our young people, read this with me together. Ready? A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. See, the Bible says that a lying tongue hateth those. Hateth those. You see, if you love someone, you're going to trust them with the truth. See, what do you want? All you ever want from people are the truth. And yet for them to lie to you, for them to deceive you, for them to toy with the truth and to make it some kind of a lie, you see, if you are going to do what's best for them, okay, again, what is love? Love is that doing what is best for another without regard for myself. If you're going to do what's best for a young people, a brother or a sister in the context of your home, you say you love your mom and dad, then you trust your mom and dad with the truth. You see, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. You see, to lie about what was said, to lie about what was done, is not loving your siblings. It's not loving your mom or loving your dad. You're using your tongue without love. And may I remind you, Paul said, to use your tongue without love is to become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. It is to amount to nothing. Romans chapter 13 and verse 9. For space, I couldn't put this in the bulletin, but follow along with me. Listen as I read, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, Jesus, when he was asked what was the greatest of all the commandments, he said, there's one, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And he said, but there's another, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says, all the prophets, all the commandments, they hang on this law of love. And to break the commandment and to bear false witness is to use your tongue without love. You know, but there's more sins of the tongue mentioned in Scripture, gossip. You know, the word gossip is not found in the Bible. The Bible uses the word talebearer or whisperer or even slanderer. And the Bible speaks about this use of the tongue. Look at Proverbs chapter 18 and I'm sorry, we'll read Proverbs 11 together in just a moment. Listen as I read Proverbs 18:8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost part of the belly. Proverbs 11:13. Let's read this together. Ready? A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth. Now this talebearing, this gossiping. You know, I like one definition I found of gossip. It's sharing private information with someone who is not a part of the problem, nor a part of the solution. You see, and so to be spreading stories about that person. Oh, did you hear what they did? Did you hear what happened? Or, you know, that gossip can even be spiritualized. You know, I want you to pray for sister so-and-so. Let me tell you why. And you see, there's no love for that person. Would you want someone speaking of you that way? Would you want someone sharing your information? And you don't spread stories about them because you're interested only in what's best for them. Maybe you're trying to tear them down. Maybe you enjoy the salaciousness of gossip. Maybe you're just bored. You know, the Bible speaks in the New Testament about those that go from house to house and they become busybodies in other men's matters. You see this gossip, that there's no love, that there's... Listen, the Bible's clear. If you have a problem with somebody, you go to them and you speak with them. You don't go around talking to everybody about them. You go to them and you speak with them. And you see, when we use our tongues without love, without divine love, what the Bible says, we are a sounding brass. Paul said to do that would be to become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You see, and so many other sins of the tongue that we could mention. We could be here all day preaching on a rash tongue, a quarrelsome tongue, a backbiting tongue, a murmuring tongue, a loud tongue, a flattering tongue. You see, the Bible sums up all this corrupt communication, all of this evil speaking in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Would you read it with me, please? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. See, what is the purpose of our words? To minister grace. To convey God's love. You see, this sinful, selfish use of the tongue is even addressed specifically in the context of the home. You see, how to amount to nothing. How to amount to nothing as a husband. Go ahead and use that tongue without love. You see, how to amount to nothing as a wife. Go ahead and use that tongue without love. How to amount to nothing as a father or mother or as a son or a daughter, as a sibling. Go ahead, use that tongue without love. And just go ahead and shoot off your mouth and speak without thinking. The Bible reminds us that there's no lack of sin where there's no lack of words. And we need to be careful how we use our tongue. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 9, the Bible says this: it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Proverbs 27 verse 15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 17 seems to address more the men. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. For the parent, how important it is that a parent uses their tongue with love as they teach and train and address the myriad of issues that arise, to use the tongue with love. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You see, if we're going to bring them up in admonition and nurture, that is done by our tongue, and provoking them to anger in wrath is also accomplished with the tongue. You see how important we use our tongue with love. Even for the young person in the home, the Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. What? But grievous words stir up anger. Oh, and how much grief have been stirred up because of a tongue that was used without love. See how many a young person has grown up and spent almost two decades or more with others who are flesh and blood, and yet being a brother or being a sister has amounted to nothing because of a tongue that was used without love. Oh, our tongues need to minister grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, that it may be that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Colossians 4, 6, let your speech be always with salt, with grace, seasoned with salt. Let your speech be what? Always with grace. You see how important we understand that. And that's why, like the psalmist, we need to cry out, God, set a watch. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. How to amount to nothing? How to amount to nothing? Use your tongue without love. Let me say this secondly. How to amount to nothing? Fulfill your responsibilities without love. Fulfill your responsibilities without love. You know, we live in a society that values, even idolizes talent. And if you have a particular giftedness, a particular skill set, you know, there are ways in our culture to ride that gift to fame and fortune. And yet, I find particularly intriguing how many rich and famous people have become nothing. You know, their own children. They've been divorced and having very, very public battles with former spouses and children that are estranged and for all their talents and abilities, they could not love. They couldn't love a child. They couldn't love a spouse and now they say they would give anything to have the heart of that spouse, to have the heart of that child. You see, how can you amount to nothing, simply fulfill your responsibilities without love? Paul speaks of this giftedness in verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, say it with me, I am nothing. See, how can you amount to nothing? Fulfill your responsibilities without love. You say, well, but Pastor, of course I love my wife. I'm still married. After all these years, we're still together. And you see, that is simply not true. Because staying with your spouse is not equated to loving your spouse. Okay? By the way, the Bible tells us of more than one loveless marriage. And, if staying with your spouse equated to loving your spouse, then why does the Bible command husbands to love their wives? You see, if you want to be nothing as a husband, if you want to be nothing, amount to nothing as a wife, then fulfill your responsibilities even in the context of the marriage relationship without love. See, I want to remind us, this love that the Bible is speaking of, this love that Paul is waxing eloquent about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is not natural. Because if it were natural, the Bible would not have to command it. Husband, Ephesians 5:25. Look at it. Ready? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. How important we understand that. You see, this love that the Bible is speaking of is commanded. You see, and I'm not saying that everywhere where there is not God's love, there cannot be God's love, or they're not believers. So often things start out right. And they start with a sincere heart, and they start with the best of intentions. But after a while, things begin to, break down. Things begin to fall apart. You know, there's a law in God's universe called the second law of thermodynamics, And it's a good description of marriage. In a closed system, things will begin to break down. See, if that relationship is just left to itself, okay, yeah, things started out great, okay, but there's going to be a downward pull. Things are going to begin to start to break down, and things are going to begin to start to fall apart. And that's why God commands husbands to love their wives. Today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day this week, every day this month, not just on Valentine's Day or an anniversary or a birthday. No, every day, husbands, love your wives. You know, it's so interesting in that passage, as Paul is teaching about this picture of Christ and His church, and uses that as a touch point so that we can understand this kind of love. He goes on to say, listen, fellas, you don't understand that you love yourself, okay? And, you know, it's natural for you to put yourself first. And that's why you need to give of yourself to loving your wife. You don't hate yourself. You love yourself. So love your wife. Because in so doing, you're actually loving yourself. And we need to understand the importance of love as it is fulfilled in the context of the responsibilities of the husband and also the wife. God commanded the older women to teach the younger women how to love. You know, I find this passage very interesting for many, many reasons. But look with me at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And I want us to read verses 3 through 5. Let's read this passage together. Ready? The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know, it's interesting that they may teach the young women to, notice that, love their husbands, love their children. You know, the most natural form of love, if you know, would be the love of a mother to their child. And of course, we understand that that love does not exist in a world so darkened by the wickedness of sin, but a very natural kind of love. And yet the Bible says this is something that must be taught, to teach the young women to love their children, to love, to true. And again, we're not talking about love as the world knows. It's not how to care for your children or how to care for your, how to truly, truly love your husband, to love your children with that agape love. You see, the older women are to teach the younger women how important this is, and how important that when the husband bashing, the male bashing starts, the male loathing starts, that there's a stop that's put to that, and how important that older ladies teach the younger ladies to show that deference, to show that respect, to show that love to their husbands, to their children. Listen, the Bible is reminding us that we constantly need instruction. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you and I are going to have a marriage that brings honor and glory to God, a marriage that amounts to anything, if we're going to have a parent-child relationship that amounts to anything, it must have the love of God. How desperately we need the instruction of the Word of God. I wanted to share a few thoughts about love within the body of Christ and the countless instruction in the Word of God for us to love one another. I'm going to move on for sake of time, but how important it is that even in the context of the church, we fulfill our responsibilities. You know, every single person in the context of the church is to minister one to another. No one is just a pew sitter. No one is just a taker. No one is just a receiver, a sponge, if you will. You have an obligation to carry out your responsibilities to love one another and admonish one another and edify one another and forgive one another and contribute one to another, and how important it is that we fulfill those responsibilities in love, because to fulfill those responsibilities without love is to amount to nothing. I want to finish with this, number three. How can you amount to nothing? We've said use your tongue without love. Number two, fulfill your responsibilities without love. Number three, give of yourself without love. Give of yourself. I'm back in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at verse 3. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, say it with me, it profiteth me nothing. You know, giving, one of the most obvious expressions of love. You know, at Christmas time and birthdays, we express that love by giving to one another. And God gave to us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave what? His only begotten Son. You see, and yet the Bible reminds us that if you have the ability to give and you do not give, the love of Christ is not in you. Whatever love is in there is maybe a fleshly love, a worldly love, but it's not divine love. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Would you read this passage with me, please? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, what an interesting question. To have the ability to meet a need and to not give, then he says the love of God is not in you. How dwelleth? How could you call that the love of God? And I love the way James speaks of it. You see a brother who's hungry or destitute and naked, and you just say, "Oh, God bless you, I'm praying for you," and you do nothing to meet their need. How dwelleth? Again, we could ask the same question. How dwelleth the love of God in him? And yet, we are reminded here in this passage that just because it is an expression of giving, and even an expression of sacrificial giving, that does not mean that it's being done in love. You see, the whole point of the message, how to amount to nothing. Use your tongue without love, and fulfill your responsibilities without love, and give of yourself without love. You see, back to what I said in our introduction, if the average American knows nothing of divine love, the love that is given to us by God through Jesus Christ, then I think it would be safe to say that most giving is not done in love. Most giving. You see, it's not done because the love of Christ is shining through us. I love that verse, Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You see, so someone who would give and even give sacrificially, what would the motives be? Well, think about the giving as it exists in our world today. You know, we have major philanthropists that give hundreds of millions, even billions of dollars away, and of course the reasons for giving can be many, but the reasons they give to earn favor with God, they give to earn favor with man, they give out of obligation, they give because they feel guilty that they have so much, they give out of pity. They give to advance a particular agenda. They give to look good. They give to relieve their own conscience. They give to gain a certain level of control. They give to be an example, to prompt others to give. You see, lots of reasons why they might give, but not one of those reasons that I just mentioned was because the love of God was shed abroad in their hearts. And Paul speaks of this. You see, to give and to give sacrificially, he says, to give without love profits nothing. And by the way, let me say this, giving as it exists in our world today, giving by those who do not know Jesus Christ and do not possess the love of God, I'm not saying that they shouldn't give. I'm glad that they give. Okay? But it highlights the point that I'm making here. It profits them nothing. Because ultimately, that gift has selfish, there's self-interest. There are selfish motives. And Jesus warned us about this kind of self-serving love. Look at this passage from Luke chapter 6. We looked at this yesterday at our men's breakfast, but I want us to see it again. Luke chapter 6, verse 32. The Bible says, "For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." You see, here in this passage, the only way that this gift, the only way that this generosity, the only way that this sacrifice will be meaningful in any way is, he says here, to give, to do good, to lend. Notice that phrase, hoping for nothing again. It wasn't done with any sort of self-serving motive. You see, to give to someone, to help someone, so that you have favors. You know, there's some people they're very benevolent, if you will. They're very generous, but one of the reasons they do so is because, like Jesus said, they've got credit with everybody, and anytime they're in need, they can get those people, obligate those people to help them to return those favors. And Jesus said, "Listen, even if you give and there was no transaction at the time, and it was only done so that in your heart there was a hope of a future gain or a future reward, you did not give out of love." You see, to give of yourself without love is to amount to nothing. You see, and Jesus is clearly reminding us, don't miss what Jesus is saying. Listen, because you're loving someone, because in the end or in return, they will love you. That's not real love. You know, this love as it exists in most marriage relationships, I love you as long as you love me. You see, that is not genuine love. Making sacrifices for someone so they will owe you favors, and that is not real love. You see, you and I are to love with the love that we have been shown in Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 13. Another passage we looked at yesterday, but how important it is that we understand this. Because if we don't understand this and we don't live this, whatever context we live without love, we have amounted to nothing. John chapter 13, look at verse 34. Let's read 34 and 35 together. Ready? "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." What kind of love is that? Jesus said, "It's the love that I've loved you with." See, what did Jesus say? "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You see, hoping for nothing again. without any regard for myself, without any concern, without even a thought as to how it will benefit me. And listen, so often as we love others, that love will be reciprocated. But I want to remind us, that must not be our motive. And we don't give with those expectations and love with those expectations. And you see, we're to love with the love that Christ loved us. And Jesus tells us this is not just a suggestion. This is not just a recommendation. This is a commandment that you love one another. See, wonder how many professing Christians, their church attendance amounted to nothing because it wasn't done in love. Their offerings, they weren't done in love. Their commitments, maybe to fulfill a particular responsibility, it was not done in love. The responsibilities in the home and to their marriage, to their wife, to their children, wives, to their husbands and children. And Paul lays it out so very clearly. If it is not done in love, even the most magnificent exercises of spiritual giftings without love, it is nothing. And the one who possesses those abilities, the one who would be held maybe in esteem or awe because of those talents and abilities, they themselves are nothing. May God help us. May God help us to show His love through us. How to be nothing? Live life without love. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.